I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we're going to talk about Canada, and is Sharia law coming to Canada? Is Sharia law coming to Canada? I've just been, you know, I've talked about this before on the program, how up in Canada, they have this motion, M103, it's called M103, which is a proposal in the Canadian Parliament to have the government crack down on Islamophobia and supposedly all forms of racism and discrimination. They throw that in as well. But they have the word Islamophobia in particular in this motion. And then there's an ongoing debate about whether or not this is a proposal that's going to be made law. There are those who are saying it's not going to be made law, and many others are saying this is actually going to limit free speech if it is passed. So you've got this whole controversy going on there in Canada. And this, you know, we've talked about before how Islamophobia, and this is so important to understand, brethren, Islamophobia, this whole argument about so-called Islamophobia, is being used by the left to advance the elements of Sharia law. And the foundation element of Sharia law is that you exalt Islam as the number one religion, the number one belief system in a country, and then you punish anybody who insults Islam. And you'll even see, you can go online, look up these Muslim crowds and so on, where you have the Muslim radicals out there and they're holding up signs. And their signs say, behead those who insult Islam. That even to insult the Islamic religion is a crime. And in any Muslim country, you can insult any belief system you want, but if you insult Islam, you'll be punished in particular. And that is like the beachhead, if you will, for invading a country. Doctrinally, politically, philosophically. You know, when invaders want to invade a country, what they do, if they're coming from a distant shoreline, they want to establish a beachhead. So they land their ships, they get their soldiers off the ships, and they basically set up a camp, and from that camp, they march inland. And then they begin to take over one town, one city, et cetera, et cetera. But you've got to be able to establish a beachhead. If you can't establish a beachhead, then you cannot advance the invasion. Can't happen. You've got to be able to establish that beachhead. I remember watching, I think it was a History Channel documentary several years ago about invaders who tried to invade Japan in the Middle Ages. But the samurai met them on the beach and cut them down and would not allow them to establish a beachhead. This is what was going on. Some people may remember the film Saving Private Ryan, the opening sequence, the D-Day invasion, when Allied soldiers, American soldiers, are getting off the boats and they're storming Normandy Beach, Omaha Beach, they called it. And they're being shot at, their machine guns are going off, bombs are going off. It's utter chaos, one of the most memorable war sequences in cinema. In fact, my grandfather on my mother's side is a World War II veteran, and he said just watching the previews for him brought back memories, and at the time he could not watch the film. Very, very vivid, very powerful. I remember when it came out. But what had to happen, the Allies had to establish a beachhead. They had to land on the beach. They had to take the beach because from there, they're going to get dug in and they're going to march inland and then they're going to beat the Nazis. That's what they're going to do. But if you can't establish that beachhead, you try to go in. If the Nazis had been successful at repelling them or killing them and forcing them to retreat, this is what happened with the whole Bay of Pigs invasion. The United States tried to go in with the Cuban patriots to take Castro. But what happened? They couldn't establish a beachhead. Castro and his men, they were ready for him. They pushed him out. You see what I'm saying? This is the importance of it. And so what Islam is trying to do in the West is to establish their beachhead. And their beachhead is Sharia law. They've got to get their immigrants in there. They've got to build up a population somehow. Then they've got to get involved in politics, and they need laws to be erected that protect Islam in particular. Not Christianity, not Judaism, not atheism, not anything else, but Islam in particular as the number one belief system to be specially protected. And then from there, they can advance their cause. Because any criticism of Islam can then be called Islamophobia. And now you're guilty of a crime. So in the UK right now, they've got over 100 Sharia courts. Over 100 Sharia courts. Now, right now, my understanding is that the people of England, the ordinary citizens of England, are not bound by anything going on in the Sharia courts in the UK. That they're still judged in the ordinary court system. And the Sharia courts are only for the Muslim communities. But that's how it is right now. You still have hate speech laws there in the UK, where people who insult Islam in particular face prosecution. They can be arrested. They can go to jail. They're punished. They can be fined. Right now, the punishments are very light. You know, they'll have to do community service or something. In some cases, the cases are thrown out of court. But nevertheless, they're trying to advance the idea. And the weapon that they're using is Islamophobia. The whole concept of Islamophobia, the irrational fear of Islam and Muslim people just because they're different. And of course, they keep trying to relate it to racism. That it's just like racism. Even though Islam is a belief system, it's not a race. All right, so you've got disagreement online. There's no question about this. Now, the MP, the member of parliament, the Canadian parliament, Iqra Khalid, who sponsored the motion, this is according to thestar.com, says the headline, Liberal MP swamped by hate mail, threats over anti-Islamophobia motion in Commons. Mississauga Liberal MP Iqra Khalid, who sponsored the motion, says she was subject of thousands of death threats, racist and sexist taunts. And one of the issues, apparently, was there were people, the conservative members of the government, were trying to remove the word Islamophobia in particular from the proposal here, the motion. And she was she gave a speech in which she said she was sickened. That's the word she used, sickened, that people want to remove the word Islamophobia. And just focus on discrimination in every form. And then went on to talk about how Islamophobia is real. Now, I've talked about on the program before, brethren. I've talked about how this business of the hate crimes, the so-called hate crimes with the Muslims, go look up all of the hate crimes that never were against Islam. Muslims in particular are notorious in the West for claiming hate crimes that it later turns out never happened. There's a whole list of them. In fact, if you want to read more on that, I highly recommend going to the wikislam.net website that gives a list of fake anti-Muslim hate crimes and other lies. Okay? That lists incidents where Muslims have been caught fabricating anti-Muslim hate crimes or lying about other issues, such as their views on terrorism, etc. And then it gives a whole list of the women who made the claims, the countries where they happened. I mean, these things have happened in Australia, Austria, Denmark, Finland, Indonesia, Lebanon, the Palestinian Authority area in Sweden, in the United Kingdom, repeatedly in the United Kingdom, and many times you'll see in the United States, fake hate crimes against Islam. They made this claim after Trump was elected. They claimed that there was a sharp rise in hate crimes against Muslims right after Donald Trump was elected. Oh, it was terrible. Trump supporters assaulting poor Muslims on the street who were just minding their own business. And this kind of thing. And it turns out to be a lie. Turns out to be fake. We have to remember that in Islam, they have the doctrine of taqiyya, al-taqiyya, which is the doctrine of lying, which gives them the right to lie to the infidel for the purpose of advancing the cause of Islam. That's something that they have the right to do. They can engage in al-taqiyya. They can lie. If you read the page there at Wikislam, which, by the way, the Muslims are not happy about Wikislam, do not like Wikislam. They don't like that website at all. But it does say the whole idea of Islamophobia on the rise. It says, quote, according to FBI hate crime statistics, hate crimes directed against Muslims remain relatively rare in the United States. Jewish victims of hate crimes also outnumber Muslim victims by a ratio of almost 9-1. And anti-Muslim incidents only account for a tiny 1.3% of all hate crimes. Okay, so that's what you have to bear in mind. That's the thing that really makes this whole idea about Islamophobia when you see people, and we've had, as we've talked about before, right here in the United States, the Democrats in Congress, prior to this past election, tried to pass a bill in Congress that would punish anyone for hate speech directed against Islam in particular, all based on this whole concept of so-called Islamophobia. But that's the foundation of Sharia law. That's where it begins. Because it puts the focus, the attention, the priority on Islam, not religion in general, but Islam itself. And they're looking for these very deceptive ways to bring it in. They keep trying to associate Islam with race. And as we said before, Islam is not a race. They keep making the argument. But what they're doing, I believe, this is my suspicion, they are taking the same path that the gays, the homosexuals, took with patterning their movement after the civil rights movement. Because this was very deliberately done, where the gays began to argue that being gay was just like being black, and that discriminating against gays was just like discriminating against blacks, okay? That's how the gays advanced their agenda all the way up to this gay marriage ruling. So now you have a very similar thing going on with Islamophobia, that they're trying to associate it with racism, most likely so they can advance it politically and through legislation and the courts, etc. All right, brethren, let's go to our commercial break. When we come back, we'll talk more right after this.
Dullum Films presents an exciting new documentary, Bridge to Babylon, part three in an award-winning series on the untold history of the Bible. Dr. Jack Moorman calls it a masterful presentation of what is the single most important issue facing Christians today, the defense of the Bible as the Word of God. Why was the Bible changed in 1881? Why have so many churches abandoned biblical inerrancy? And what direction are scholars taking the scriptures today? Learn the truth in Bridge to Babylon, the sequel to A Lamp in the Dark and Tares Among the Wheat. Bridge to Babylon is now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America. Our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I've been a customer of Mountain House through one of their distributors. But now, Worldview Weekend, as of October 25th, 2016, has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. Now look, the key word here is balance. We don't put our hope in horses and chariots. We don't put our security in food and gold and silver. But it is important to be diversified and to be prepared. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. I think people ought to have a little bit put aside, as I've done since April of 2013, in case of an emergency. You get free shipping and handling, and you're supporting the general operating budget of Worldview Weekend. Just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are talking about Islam in Canada and what's going on with this Islamophobia bill, M103. It's not actually, it's a motion. That's what they're calling it. They're saying it's a parliamentary motion. It says, just quoting from some different articles here, a parliamentary motion is not a law. That's what it says. Okay? Parliamentary motion is not a law. In this case, motion M103 is simply an expression of opinion. Even if adopted by Parliament, it has no legal validity or precedential value whatsoever and doesn't bind the government or anyone else to do or not do anything. Okay? And this is according to a lawyer named Ken Dunham in Ottawa, Canada. That's what he says. Now, of course, we all know how things go with lawyers and with the courts. There were people who argued that Obamacare was not going to change anybody's health care. You like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. All these lawyers were saying this. Other lawyers were saying, no, that's not true. Well, guess what? Once it was actually passed, people found out that, well, you're not necessarily going to be able to keep your doctor. Many people lost their physicians and had their health care changed in ways that was completely contrary to what Obama and his supporters were arguing beforehand. So we've seen this kind of thing before where they say, well, it's not really going to mean this. It's not really going to mean that. And then once they actually pass a motion or whatever it is that they're trying to pass, if it was insignificant, if it was unimportant, if it was going to have no impact whatsoever, why would they need to pass the motion? Why? That's a legitimate question. So those who are, there's another article here from globalnews.ca, and it talks about M103. It says, Motion 103 has been making lots of headlines this week, with the liberals and conservatives repeatedly butting heads over the text, the intention behind it, and what it could mean moving forward. All right. Now it says, here's what it proposes. Here's what it proposes. One, the government should recognize the need to quell the increasing public climate of hate and fear. Two, The government should condemn Islamophobia and all forms of systemic racism and religious discrimination. 3. The Standing Committee on Canadian Heritage should look at how the government could develop an approach to reducing or eliminating systemic racism and religious discrimination, including Islamophobia, and collect data to contextualize hate crime reports. That's 3. And 4, the committee should present its findings and recommendations to Parliament within 240 days. So it's a proposal, apparently, to gather data about hate crimes and systemic racism, religious discrimination, and Islamophobia. Now, what's interesting is there's no mention here, and there should be. One of the conservatives should have come forward and talked about an investigation into the claims of hate crimes, fake hate crimes that are claimed by Muslims in different parts of the world that never happened, and to be on their guard for the false claims about so-called hate crimes. Even the claims being made by this liberal MP, this woman, Iqra Khalid, who's claiming she got all of these hateful emails where people said, we're going to burn down your mosques, and used all of this very harsh language with her. Those emails and their origin, that ought to be investigated, quite frankly, to find out who these people were who were sending her messages, if in fact they existed even at all, or if those emails were somehow or other a fabrication. But it's very interesting. But there's no mention of that. There's no mention of the systemic fraud, since they're using that word systemic, the systemic fraud that goes on in the Islamic community and those who are supporting Islam, that they are routinely, as a matter of habit, deceiving people about what Islam really is and these so-called hate crimes in particular. All right, now, at Jihad Watch, Robert Spencer, in response to all of this, has an article. And the headline is this: Toronto Mosque, O Allah, give us victory over the disbelieving people, slay them one by one, and spare not one of them. By Robert Spencer. And he opens the article by saying, quote, Canada is about to pass a resolution that will pave the way to the criminalization of Islamophobia. But about this, Canadian authorities have nothing to say. And then he goes on to talk about this these prayers in a Toronto mosque, where during the prayer, apparently, the Muslims say, quote, slay them one by one and spare not one of them, end quote. Okay, and this is from an article. Jihad Watch quotes CIJ News, and it says Toronto Mosque in downtown Toronto is, or Masjid Toronto Mosque in downtown Toronto is affiliated with the Muslim Association of Canada, MAC. Then it goes on and talks about Dr. Wail Shihab, who was appointed in 2014 to a full-time resident imam. He's the imam of the mosque there. And then some of his views are contained in the article. You go read the article. His views, I mean, basically the guy is a Muslim, obviously. He's a historic Muslim. He believes Islam is the answer to all the world's problems. Every problem in the world is going to be solved by Islam. Okay? Basically. And so this is the part I wanted to get to, where it says, quote, in 2016, imams at the mosque recited supplications to Allah in support of the Mujahideen, those who engage in jihad everywhere. The total destruction of the enemies of Islam and the purification of Al-Aqsa Mosque from the, quote, filth of the Jews. The following are excerpts from these supplications. Originally in Arabic, so this is a translation. Translation says, quote, O Allah, we ask you to give us victory over the enemies. O Allah, count their number, slay them one by one. Spare not one of them. O Allah, do not defer it on them. Those seem to be the key points of this prayer that was delivered back in 2016. Okay, then it goes on. Says, O Allah, give us victory over the disbelieving people. O Allah, count their numbers, slay them one by one, and spare not one of them. O Allah, purify Al-Aqsa Mosque from the filth of the Jews. And then it repeats, purify Al-Aqsa Mosque from the filth of the Jews. That's twice. So the disbelieving people, obviously the disbelieving people are those who do not believe in Islam. They don't agree with Mohammedism. And so here they're praying this prayer in the mosque in a country now that condemns hate speech. And yet, somehow or other, the Canadian authorities are willing to permit it. They're willing to tolerate this. And then, of course, they say what really needs to happen is they need to crack down on anybody who criticizes Islam and is guilty of so-called Islamophobia. It is a time, I believe, where Christians in this country and in the West, we need to remember the first command, brethren, and why God gives it. God says, I am the Lord thy God. Ye shall have no other gods before me. But I believe Christians should stand up in this country and in the West and declare, no, Allah is a false God. He's not the same as the God of the Bible. And we're not going to bow down to some idol, and we're not going to live under the authority of the pagan moon god. Our forefathers did not lay down their lives for the cause of freedom so that we could be subject to some barbarian, savage system, especially one that denies the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All right, brethren, that is going to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.